So I begin tonight by offering my thanks for giving me the opportunity to take a sabbatical. An additional thanks to those who are taking on responsibilities to keep all the little administrative and organizational things running smoothly while I'm gone. Significant time off to renew and re-energize is a real gift. And I'm looking forward to not only the sabbatical, but coming back in November ready to renew and re-energize our ministry together. And as I've looked forward to this time off, which begins tomorrow with a week of vacation, I've thought about expectations, things I want to experience, what I want to accomplish, and how I can enrich and make the most of this sabbatical time. And now we haven't formally talked about what your expectations are for the church community during the sabbatical. I know there's a great lineup of people to lead worship while I'm gone, and I hope those diverse voices will re-energize and bless you. Perhaps you'll also schedule some fun things to do together. But it is worth thinking about. Is there something that you want to accomplish or experience during this time of sabbatical? What needs to happen so we're all ready to move into the future again come November? What are your expectations? Now, expectations in general is actually what I want to reflect on today. And expectations can be tricky. They can certainly push us to do better. If we have high expectations, we generally tend to work hard to meet those. If we have low expectations, well, we generally slack off to meet those. There are also, I think, different categories of expectations. There are internal ones that we put on ourselves. We might, for example, expect to get all A's in school, or we might expect to have saved a certain amount of money by the time we were a certain age. And there's also external expectations that others have for us. Our parents, families, partners, teachers, bosses, society itself. And those can be helpful sometimes, but they can also be onerous or even harmful. Perhaps our parents expected us to become a doctor, but our true calling, what makes us happy, was to become an artist. Or they expected us to be straight, and oops, we were gay or lesbian or bisexual. And then there are expectations that we have for other people or for the world. And I think this seems to be the situation in today's gospel. Now, sometimes this story of Martha and Mary is presented as a discussion between the merits of hospitality versus contemplation. But I'm not sure that's really what it's about, because both of those things are important. One is not inherently better than the other. I think this scripture is really about our expectations. When we meet expectations, we're generally satisfied and happy. We feel like we know what's going on, that things are how they should be. Unfortunately, when our expectations are not met, we can get angry, frustrated. We might feel like the world is out of control. We might even feel like a failure. In the scripture reading today, Martha's expectations are not being met. She thinks Mary should be helping with the meal, cooking and cleaning up afterward. Mary, on the other hand, seems to expect to be able to just sit with Jesus so that she can learn from him. And that kind of makes Martha angry. Are Martha's expectations inappropriate? Is she being unrealistic and expecting too much from Mary? Is she projecting her expectations for herself onto Mary, assuming what's right for one person is right for everybody? Is she just following society's expectations for herself? Or is providing hospitality really what she feels called to do? Has she even considered that maybe she too could stop and just sit with Jesus? And we can ask similar questions about Mary. It's her home too. Does she expect Martha will handle all of the cooking and cleaning without any help? Is that really fair? Doesn't Martha actually have a point when she complains to Jesus? I'm not sure there are right and wrong answers to those questions. Like I said, expectations are tricky. To be helpful, though, I think first expectations need to be realistic. And that means both possible to achieve, but also in line with our authentic selves, our inner purpose. In the writings of the prophet Amos, God has expectations as well, expectations of justice, and the people fail to meet them, which according to Amos makes God disappointed and angry and frustrated. And God says the time is ripe. Things have come to a head. It's time to do something about this situation. God's frustration, according to Amos, makes the land itself tremble. And what that tells me is that the people are out of tune with their true selves. They're not living in harmony with their purpose. God has created us to help and support each other, but the people profit and cheat from each other, taking advantage of the poor and the needy. The problem isn't that they have different expectations than God, but they have expectations that go against their true selves, their true nature. And that is why the land trembles. That's why the world itself has gone out of sync. And I believe what that says about Mary and Martha is that we can't really answer any of those questions about expectations. Only Martha and Mary can answer them. And they can only answer them if they know their own authentic self. What are their passions? What are their gifts? To what purpose has God called them? Well, I believe God created all of us out of love to help and support each other. We as individuals are called to contribute in our own unique ways. Consider the Apostle Paul's metaphor of the body of Christ. Some people are the nose, some are the eyes, some are the ears. The nose has to know what it's called to do. A nose that tries to be an eye isn't going to work very well. And it's pointless for the nose to go around complaining that the eyes are not doing their fair share of the smelling. And some of us are called to be doctors, some preachers, some artists, some caretakers, and so on. And that may or may not meet our expectations or the expectations others have for us. The point is, we ourselves have to discover who we are. And external observations may very well be helpful, but no one can truly tell us who our own authentic self is and what God is calling us to become and do. Only when we know ourselves can we, like Jesus said Mary did, choose the better part, choose the path that is right for us. And it's not only we that have to choose, it's not only Mary that has to choose, but in our scripture, it's also Martha who has to choose. And I talk about becoming our authentic selves a lot because I think it's important. It's one of the queer spiritual gifts that we reflected on in June. Knowing who we truly are is necessary if we want to live a whole and fulfilling life. And it's never too late to begin that lifelong journey of self-discovery. We shouldn't be satisfied with just surviving. We can learn what we're passionate about, what we're capable of. We can take some classes maybe or engage in new experiences, figure out what gives us meaning, talk to people about their experiences, see a therapist, journal, whatever it takes. And as we become more in tune with our passions and talents, our inner purpose and calling, we not only move closer to God, but we become the person God created us to be. But we are better able to choose the better part in life as well, to live in harmony with the divine as a healed, whole, and joy-filled person of love. We can better set realistic expectations that help rather than hinder, that push us to be better people rather than set us up for failure, and we can avoid some of the pitfalls that expectations present. So think back to that story of Mary and Martha again. Hospitality is, of course, incredibly important, and we should all be welcoming and helpful toward others. But Martha's unhappiness in that role makes me suspect that it wasn't really her true calling in life. It wasn't what gave her life meaning. And perhaps she tried to project that unhappiness onto Mary, demanding that Mary join her in her unhappiness. Because we do that sometimes. If we're miserable, let's make everybody else miserable. I get the feeling that Martha is only fulfilling the role that others expect of her, which shows us not only the importance of knowing ourselves, but the importance of letting go of inappropriate expectations and the guilt that can surround them. If we have expectations of ourselves, or there are expectations that others have put upon us that make us unhappy and make us miserable, we need to try to let those go. And that can be difficult because it might make us feel guilty. It might make us feel like we've failed in some way. But in reality, by refusing to live according to expectations that are not in harmony with our true self, like Mary did, we actually liberate ourselves and open ourselves to healing and wholeness. And maybe it will also give others permission to refuse inappropriate expectations put upon them. Maybe Martha's response to her complaints falling flat was to realize that she didn't have to be stuck in the kitchen. Maybe she decided in this unwritten part of the gospel, I'm imagining, that it was better for her to sit and listen to Jesus too. Let Peter or John or someone else do the cooking for once. How can we, like Mary, choose the better part? Well, we can get to know ourselves. We can discover what it means to become the person God made us to be, and then let go of the expectations that don't match up. And we can encourage others to be the unique and wonderful people that God made them to be, that we might all find healing and wholeness, find our part in the body of Christ, bringing love into the world in our own way. May it be so. Amen.